Welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the local show that's all about the issues of aging. How do we take care of mom and dad? What happens when grandma needs help? What happens when dad has dementia? What happens when grandpa has a stroke? How do we pay for it? Who makes decisions? How are we being wise about all of this? Glad to have you with us. I'm Bob Scrivano, your host for 21 years here on KFBK, talking about the issues of aging. I have a very eclectic show tonight. I also have some upcoming workshops that I want to talk to you about. I'm actually going to be doing an actual workshop in my office. Also have an upcoming webinar. What else? So lots to talk about. You're going to want to listen to this show with a pencil and paper. What else? Oh, let me get to the disclaimers. Remember, I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law. I don't want to practice law because that limits me in some ways. I have a California insurance license. I have to tell you that. I just renewed it, actually. Haven't sold the insurance in years, but I still have a license. I have a legal document assistant license recorded in Sacramento, California. Yes, it's there. If the recorder's office opens, you can go down and you can find it. It's a legal document assistant license 2004-05, if you want to know. That means I've had it since 04. So 16 years I've been a legal document assistant, which allows me to prepare legal documents at your direction and request. I'm not securities licensed. I don't want to be. I'm not a doctor. I can't give medical advice. I'm not a CPA. I can't give you tax advice. And everything I talk about here is my opinion only. Quite often, my opinion is absolutely correct and right on. But it's most of the time my opinion. When it's fact, I'll tell you. I have to tell you all that stuff, folks, because otherwise someone will get mad. That said, you're probably listening to California's single best resource on the issues of aging. And I have news for you. Unless you die, you're going to get old. Unless you die, you're going to become frail while you're getting old. Unless you die, there's a good chance you won't be too functional when you get old. Unless you die, there's a chance you could have dementia. Unless you die, there's a good chance that your body's not going to work so well anymore. Have I made my point? Do you know we have more people over 65 than under 20 in the United States? Aging is an issue. What are you doing about it? What have you done to make sure that it's going to be okay? What have you done to make sure that your Grammy and Grampy and Mom and Dad are going to be okay? How do you get a hold of me? Write this down. And then I'm going to tell you a story. It's a true story. My phone number, right here in Sacramento, 800-999-8007, 800-999-8007, 800-999-8007. My website is assetsandaging.com. It's a really good website. ASSETSANDAGING, assetsandaging.com. My website design, by the way, is by Keyline Digital. They do a lot of website design. They're really good, and they've done it for a lot of other people I know, businesses, and they're terrific. So a shout out to Keyline Digital. If you want more information on them, you can get a hold of me, and I'll get them in touch with you. What else? Is there anything else? We're going to talk about the issues of aging. First, I want to plug somebody. I don't plug places often, but if you're a senior and you like golf, you should write this down. Because I love this place. I just played there recently with a friend of mine from Yuba City. And it's right in between Sacramento and Yuba City. It's in Nicholas, and it's called River Oak Golf or River Oaks Golf. We paid $27 for 18 holes with a cart. It's a terrific golf course. You will like it if you're a senior or anybody. My son, who's a plus two, has played it, loves the place. So I really like the place, folks. They're just nice. It's a terrific place. It's easy. It's 15 minutes from downtown Sacramento. It's in Nicholas, and you can look them up on the internet. But I'm not making any money from this. I just like them, and I want them to succeed. And if you're a senior and you like golf and you just want to go play some golf and have a good time, go to River Oaks Golf Course in Nicholas. You know, I don't have their phone number. You have to look them up, so, or call information. But I don't give plugs out very often. But I hadn't played it for a while, probably a couple years, and we went out there with some friends the other day, and I just fell in love with it all over again. It's just a lot of fun to play. One of the things I really like about golf courses I've been playing for a long time is no two holes should be alike. One hole shouldn't remind you that a hole you just played. And at River Oak, you're in no danger of that, because every hole is different. And I just really like playing the place, and it was in great shape. And go support them. Tell them Bob sent you. I don't make any money. They won't remember me. I just told them I was going to plug their golf course because I really like the place. So again, River Oaks Golf Course in Nicholas if you like golf. All right, let's get into the show. Assetsandaging.com is my website. 800-999-8007 is my phone. I have two events coming up. On July the 8th, 7th, at 6 o'clock, I'll be doing a webinar. And then I have an announcement to make. On the 11th of July, I'll be doing a workshop for six people. Only six people, because of social distancing, in my office. One of the rules to come to the seminar is you can't have been to one of my seminars before. I'm going to reserve the six spots for people who have not been to one of my workshops before, and that will be on the 11th, and it will actually be in my office, and it's limited to six people because of the whole social distancing thing. So I'm just throwing that out there, and also a webinar on the 7th at 6 o'clock. You can go to my website, and you can get more information on both of those. And this will be the first seminar, the one on the 11th, that I've done in probably 6 months. I think the last one I did was in January or thereabouts. So if you've never been to one of my seminars, get to the one on the 11th. If you haven't been to one of my webinars, they're fantastic. We're going to talk in depth about the issues of aging, and you get to ask questions, and you can sign up for both of those. The webinar is on the 7th of July. My seminar is on the 11th. The seminar on the 11th is limited to six people. And if you've already been to my workshops, this is going to be, because it's limited in size, this is going to be for people who have not been to one of my workshops and would like to come and really get a feel for the issues of aging. All right, I want to start out by telling you a story. This, by the way, is a true story. The names have been changed to protect the innocent, as they say, those of you that are old enough to remember Dragnet. I'm going to read this to you. I wrote this a long time ago. It's a true story, and it's more true today than ever. Bernard's physical difficulties began, and tell me if this is somebody in your family. Seriously. Bernard's physical difficulties began slowly and subtly at first. Knee and hip soreness, sciatic pain, neck pain, arthritis in the hands and fingers, circulatory issues in the legs and feet, all common ailments among individuals entering old age. These were among the challenges that Bernard began to gradually face all at once. It's interesting how aging creeps up on us all at once. We're kind of, you know, we are aware, and then all of a sudden we're really aware of it in ourselves, or in mom and dad, or in grandma and grandpa. Tough and stoic, as many men of his generation are and were, they're stoic, folks. It wasn't until about 5 years after the onset of his symptoms not to mention two or three surgical procedures, that Bernard finally began to admit a change of pace and living situation might be warranted. In 2007, this is a true story, Bernard and his companion Carol, already well into their 80s, decided to move together into a new home where they could still care for one another and enjoy the independence that they loved. But there were, but where their gradually growing needs could also be met better. So they moved into an independent living. After some months of disagreement, they settled upon a one-story, two-bedroom apartment in an independent living center. They insisted on calling it a retirement home. The complex offered many of the social outlets and activities, active opportunities that Carol craved. She was a firecracker. While affording Bernard the privacy and control over schedules and physical space upon which he insisted. These new accommodations cost roughly $4,000 per month in rent, not unusual. Remember, this was in 07. An independent living facility today would cost considerably more than that. But I want you to listen to the story. And as I tell the story, you tell me how many people you know that this is true for. This isn't isolated. It's why I love this story. It was during the second year of this safer, more supportive, yet more expensive living situation that Bernard's health took another turn for the worse. While he insisted emphatically on remaining with Carol in their home, determined to perpetuate the autonomy and dignity and continuity of their living situation, he eventually conceded that he needed additional care, of a kind beyond what Carol could reasonably provide, not to mention the toll his care was taking physically and emotionally on his longtime partner. So the couple agreed to hire a part-time in-home caregiver. The caregiver arrived every weekday morning or early in the morning, and handled everything from cleaning linens and the home interior to helping Bernard dress and groom himself and perform his daily exercises. Some difficulty ensued as Bernard was wary of the company, unwelcoming of instruction and irritable to begin with. Cultural and generational divides, as they so often do, also caused some confusing and combative moments. Within that same year, this is a true story, by the way, folks, and I'm telling you this story happens every day in Sacramento. Every day. Within that same year, they'd hired two additional caregivers at an out-of-pocket expense to the couple of $80,000 per year, plus the $48,000 they were already paying in rent. So they're now paying almost $130,000 a year for care. This is not uncommon. I talked to an elder law attorney the other day who's a friend of mine who has one of the parents, the only parent living, is in assisted living. In the last 4 years, it has cost them $450,000 in assisted living costs. It's not an uncommon situation. I had a client recently paying $20,000 a month for home care. At first, they were fortunate to have the resources to pay these mounting expenses and didn't concern themselves too much with their inevitable depletion. This went on for 2 years. And it was merely 20 months later that, lo and behold, nursing home care became necessary for both Bernard at first and then for his long-devoted companion, Carol, all in the same year. Falling over a dozen times in the year thereafter, his mood increasingly depressive and erratic, and his body increasingly fragile, there was no choice but to again ramp up care. But the proprietors of the facility and the primary caregiver at the time had been contacted separately by paramedics and adult protective services, so a nursing home now loomed. This news sparked action, the dreaded, but in this case anticipated, moved to a nursing home where Medi-Cal would pay the bill. Carol soon joined him as her health had been compromised caring for him. That is not unusual for the well person, the caregiver, to become equally as ill, if not more so. Had it not been for the help they received from Medi-Cal, The nursing home bill for the both of them would have been $18,000 per month. This was 7 years ago, folks. Now it would be more like $20,000 to $25,000 a month for two of them. Make no mistake, while their fiscal resources were all but depleted at that point, the initiative that they had taken, not then, but over 2 years prior, to prepare for the likelihood of nursing home care for one of both of them ensured their well-being at that point and going forward. The point of the story is this. Two individuals who were active and collaborative about shaping their future together were able to provide excellent care for themselves. I wrote this. This is a true story. On their own terms, at levels that were appropriate to their evolving needs and finances. Due to their pre-planning and initiative, their respective estates were preserved and are not at risk and never were at risk of state recovery. The intended implication here is not that they had achieved some sort of reward or prize for good work and all will live happily ever after. In truth, at their age, their situation is messy and challenging and frankly rather dire. But that will be true for us all near the very end of life. No, the intended implication here is that Carol and Bernard are a shining example on paper and in practice of what preparation and action and realistic expectations can achieve. Both have enjoyed as comfortable and as autonomous and as dignified an old age as either could have possibly hoped for. And notably in this case, they have only themselves to thank. Here's the kicker to the story. Carol is still alive. Carol has been in a nursing home for 6 years. What's my point in telling the story? My point in telling the story is really rather simple. This exact case doesn't happen to everyone, but the elements of this case happen to almost everyone. We are all going to get old. We are all going to wear out. We are all going to become more frail. And we are more and more going to become dependent on the goodwill of others, whether that's our children or caregivers or whatever, I don't know. I'm just telling you, this story is not uncommon. I could tell 1,000 of these stories. I'm not exaggerating. I've been in nursing homes for 30, 35 years. I've done over 1,000 Medi-Cal cases. I can tell you this story is not uncommon. I can tell you that right now I have two couples that I'm doing redeterminations for where the husband and wife are both in nursing homes, and in one case, the husband and wife are in different nursing homes. This is not an uncommon story, folks. It happens every day, not only across California, but in the United States. The point of the story is this. These people, because of me, and because they put their trust in me, and were willing to plan with me, planned for all of this for over 2 years before it happened. We did all the things necessary to make sure that the both of them were taken care of. The both of them always stayed as independent and as autonomous as possible. Both of them were able to stay to the end until one of them died. The survivor is still alive and in a nursing home. All along the way, they received the best care possible. All along the way, they made decisions about themselves, and they did it in advance. I have people all the time in my office. I had somebody in my office this week that they really do not want to face the fact that they haven't thought this out well. And if you don't have children, You even have all the problems that married couples have with children. If you're married or whatever, or never been married and you don't have children, add to that the difficulty of this. Not only that, who do you probably name? You're 75 years old. You named your brother, who's 78 years old, to be your trustee. So when you're 80, he's going to be 83. When you're 90, he's going to be 93. The reality of the aging process is real. I don't mean to be redundant, but it's real. And it's not always pretty. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's ugly. Sometimes it's just horrible. But I'll tell you the one thing that I can say with certainty that makes it better, and that is acknowledging the fact that it could happen and beginning to prepare and plan for it long before anybody needs to think about it. But it and it's not just going in and talking to somebody for 30 minutes or you go online and get a trust or you go get a will. No, it's talking about things like end of life. What do you want at the end of your life? Does somebody know? Well, I don't want to be a vegetable. Well, okay, what does that mean? These people planned for all of their end of life decisions. If you have terminal cancer, do you want chemotherapy? Do you want radiation? Do you want food? Do you want hydration? Where do you want to be? Do you want comfort care? Do you want hospice? You don't want hospice? You want to stay at home? You can't stay at home. You're going to be in assisted living, but you can't stay in assisted living. So you're in a nursing home. What are your end of life decisions and who have you discussed those with? The couple I just told you about, we had discussions over the course of years about how all this was going to happen. Bernard had cancer. He decided he didn't want chemotherapy or radiation if his cancer came back. Have you had those kinds of discussions? I had somebody in my office this week, a married couple, and even together they haven't had these kinds of discussions. Everybody will say, well, we have a funeral plan. I don't care about that. You could spend 6 years dying before we ever get to the funeral plan. Are you willing to be prepared? Do you understand how it works? I don't know. You have to tell me. You have a chance to make a difference in your life. You can get to one of my webinars. My next webinar is on July 7th. My next seminar for 6 people is on the 11th. That'll be in my office at 10 o'clock. If you want to come to the seminar, you can only come if you haven't been before. I'm not going to allow people who've been to 4 of my seminars to come to another one. Because what that means is they're not ready yet to sit down and actually plan and have the hard discussion. So you have a chance to make a difference. You can come in and see me. You can call my 800 number. We'll social distance. We'll talk to each other. We'll have a mask on if you want. You can have a mask on if you want. You can have, I don't care. But we'll talk about this stuff about you or your mom or your dad or your Aunt Tilly or your Uncle Harry or whoever it is. But you just have to discuss this stuff, folks. I don't know how to make it simpler. I've been saying the same thing for 21 years on the air. You have to talk about this. Well, I don't like talking about it, Bob, because what if I talk about it? It might happen. It's going to happen whether you talk about it or not. I got news for you. So are you ready to have the hard discussion with yourself and say, okay, it's time to stop messing about with this. It's time to really take the steps. Listen to the story of Bernard and Carol and actually make a difference in your life. Have you planned? Oh, yeah, I got to try. That's not planning. That's part of a plan. It's not planning. Well, my kids know where I want to be buried. That's not planning either. That's part of planning. Having the hard discussion with yourselves in front of someone like me who can moderate the conference and ask questions, probing questions that no one else is going to ask you. That's having a plan. If you're ready to sit down and do that, then call me, 800-999-8007, 800-999-8007. Or you can go to my website and sign up for my upcoming webinar or seminar on the 7th or seminar on the 11th. But make a difference in your life and your mom and dad's life. Take this stuff seriously. It's happening every day to somebody you know. And as you get older, it may be happening to two people a day that you know. I'll be back in a minute. I have more stuff to talk about relating to the issues of aging right here on Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. I'm your host, Bob Scrivano. I'll be back in just a few minutes after a brief break. Don't go away. I have a lot more to talk about. Welcome back to Assets and Aging. I'm your host, Bob Scrivano. Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the local show right here in Sacramento that's all about the issues of aging. California's single best resource on the issues of aging. I don't care who else you go to. I don't care who else you talk to. I've been doing it longer and better than anybody else. 21 years here on KFBK, California's longest running show on the issues of aging. And I'm glad to be here. 800-999-8007 is my phone number. 800-999-8007 right here, even in Sacramento. Call that number. Or you can go to my website, Assets and Aging, assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging.com. Okay, let's talk about something. Let's talk about this. I have a lot of stuff here in front of me, and I'm trying to decide what we want to talk about. So let me ask you a question. Every day, someone walks into my office. You probably cannot imagine a scenario that I've not seen or heard about in 30 years of doing this. You can't imagine one. I mean, it's almost once every couple of years, somebody walks in and it's something I never heard of before and never saw before, but it's rare. But here are some of the things I've run into. An adult Down syndrome child, by the way, it's not Down's syndrome, it's Down syndrome, living with mom and dad, with no rights to make medical decisions for the child, and no plan to take care of that child after they're gone. Because I never thought about it. I've talked about this before. When I was teaching school a century ago, a long time ago, I taught school, junior high, for 9 years. Love junior high schoolers, by the way. Just love them. But Down syndrome was around. It was not unusual. Most Down syndrome children died by their mid-teens. Now, with advances in medicine, children with Down syndrome live to be 50, 55, 60 years old. Certainly into their 40s. So now mom and dad who had that child are now 70 years old, and nobody's thought about what happens to that special needs child after I die. Who's going to take care of them? This family had no plan. They didn't have any plan for taking care of this child. They just thought, you know, it would all work out, and actually they probably never thought the child was live as long as the child did. And all of a sudden, they got a problem. A family I talked to about a year ago, when dad was in a nursing home, the family could not cope with the guilt. This happens all the time, folks. Guilt is the 900-pound gorilla when it comes to long-term care planning. The family just couldn't cope with the guilt. So they decided to bring dad home to be taken care of by his 80-year-old wife because the children couldn't deal with it. You can guess how that went. You want to make a guess? What's your guess? Come on, tell me what your guess is. Now dad is back in the nursing home, or was back in the nursing home, and mom is ill because of taking care of dad, and the family that didn't want to deal with this is trying to figure out how to pay $10,000 a month for care. Then I had a family not long ago that had been told by the hospital not to bring dad back. He'd been in the ER 3 times in 1 month. Or they were going to call Adult Protective Services. The children don't want to get involved. There's issues. Guess what will happen? I'm not going to tell you what happened. You guess what will happen. Come on. Let's see if you can guess. And how many of you know a circumstance just like the ones I've already talked about, and I'm not done yet? Children who live in another state for mom and found out that a close relative who was taking care of mom was stealing monies from mom and mom was going without care. The children in the other state didn't want to do anything. They just let it continue to happen because they didn't want to get involved. And they had no authority to get involved because mom had never done trusts or powers of attorney. So the children in the other state had no standing and they couldn't get involved unless they wanted to come here and do a conservatorship, which is difficult, and they decided not to get involved. I'm talking about real people, folks. I'm not making this stuff up. The spouse who had ALS and the well spouse and children simply could not face the fact of what will happen. Hope is their plan. They're just hoping it's going to work out. They're just hoping it's going to work out. And the one of the parents has ALS. Family with a mom in a nursing home, 100 miles from home, because that is where the hospital put her. The hospital, this person needed a ventilator. They couldn't find a nursing home anywhere, so they put mom 100 miles away from home. Dad and son drove there every day for the better part of a year, 100 miles and back, every day to see mom, and there was no planning. A young family that I knew, in which one spouse had a heart attack and now has probable permanent brain damage. No documents in place, no right to make decisions, forced to do a conservatorship. Family's mom is in a nursing home. These are all real cases, folks. Where does your family fit in this? Or who do you know in your family? Family, mom's in a nursing home. She has separate property. Husband and children have no control over that property. They'll have to go to court, or they will pay $10,000 a month for a nursing home. Because no one ever wanted to do documents, because they never thought it was going to happen. Parents in a nursing home. This is a case from about a year and a half ago. Parents in a nursing home. Someone helped them apply for Medi-Cal. They applied for the wrong program. They got an expert who applied for the wrong Medi-Cal program. Medi-Cal was denied. They had to pay $30,000 for care at home while we had to redo Medi-Cal and get it approved. None of this had to happen. Some of you will become one of these stories or a new story because you never thought it was going to happen. We think that somehow we're going to escape life. We think this is going to happen to somebody else. It's not going to happen to me or my family or my loved one. Well, Bob, you just sound like a down. Now, all these stories are true. I'm not trying to be a downer. I'm trying to tell you what the reality of the aging process is and the issues of aging and its impact on families. I could tell you more horror stories and more horror stories and more horror stories and then some really good ones. about, I told you one in the first half hour about people that actually plan for this and how it turns out the best that it can be because somebody was willing to plan for it somewhere early on and say, wait a minute, I want to protect my kids. Wait a minute, I want to make sure mom and dad get the best possible. Therefore, let's do a little planning. Oh, but it might cost money. So let's lose it all at the back end because we chose not to spend a little money at the front end. None of it had to happen. They are all true stories, and none of it had to happen. It happened because families don't want to admit, because of guilt or stubbornness or the dynamic in families or whatever it is, that mom and dad that they've known their whole life, are going to reach the point where they can't take care of themselves. And then the proverbial stuff hits the fan. And then everybody's trying to figure out what in the world just happened here. You can make a difference. You don't have to be one of these stories. You can be the first story about Bernard and Carol, which is true, and how they planned for this starting in 07, and Carol is still in a nursing home. It's 2020, and their plan worked perfectly because they started 2 years before they were going to need all of what happened to them. Please, make a difference. Parents, I talked about this last week. Stop saying, I don't want to be a burden on my children. Who else do you want to be a burden on? Strangers? I said, if you're going to give the keys, if you're going to give the keys to your life to somebody, who better than somebody who loves you and who you love? I don't understand that rationale. I really don't. I don't want to be a burden on my children. You raised your children to be responsible, I hope. You raised them to be respectful. You love them. They love you. Why wouldn't those be the people you would want to include in your end-of-life decisions and your aging process and your frailty and all? I don't understand that thinking. I don't understand the other one. Children, stop saying it's uncomfortable talking to my parents about this stuff. Why? They're your parents. Don't you want the best for them? Don't you want to help them the best you can? Don't you want to make sure that you're the one who has the keys to their life, not some stranger, not a hospital, not adult protective services, not a court? I don't understand either one. I'll never understand either one of those points of view. I really don't. Every day somebody walks into my office and leaves saying they're going to think about it. And every day I want to stand up at my table and scream and go, think about what? Whether or not you're going to get old, whether or not you want to be taken care of, whether or not you want to preserve your assets and a lifetime's worth of work, whether or not you want the people that you love taking care of you, whether or not you want to be the one taking care of the people you love, what are the things you're going to think about in that equation? I don't understand it, and after 30, 35 years of doing this, I understand it even less. Families walk into my office all the time, and mom or dad or somebody is sick or has dementia, and they leave going, we're going to go home and think about it. Think about what? Whether or not you want to take care of your dad or your mom? Whether or not you want children making the decisions for you or strangers? I don't get it, folks. I get why you think sometimes about not buying a car or a toaster. I don't get why people are not willing to plan for the almost certainty of the aging process and the frailty that comes to us all at the end of life. I don't get it. I just don't get it. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just weird. But I don't get it. I don't get why people are willing to go through probate. I don't get why they buy piece of junk trust online. I know companies that do really good trusts online. I also know that 90% of them are junk. And some of the ones you think do good ones don't. And why would you not want to sit down in front of somebody? Well, Bob, I don't want to go through probate. Okay, probate only happens when you're dead. What happens when you spend 5 years dying? Who's going to deal with all that stuff? Do your documents address any of that stuff? Or do they just say, when Mildred and I are dead, our kids get our money? Yeah, but what if you're not dead? What if you spend all your money on care? Foolishly, because you thought you had to. What if you wind up in the hands of strangers because you didn't give your children the ability to help manage your affairs or take care of you? I will never understand this way of thinking. I don't. I understand why people think, well, I don't know what color I want to paint my house. I get that one. Because, you know, you could always change the color. Or, you know, I don't know. Do you think we need new carpeting or don't we? People spend more time on figuring out the carpeting than they do on planning for end of life and frailty. Because that's uncomfortable. We don't want to talk about that. What do you think? By not talking about it, it's not going to happen? How many of you knew somebody that spent a long time dying? Come on, be honest. How many of you have known someone who spent a long time dying? And how was it for those people? I've known a lot of those people, not only professionally, but personally. I've had a lot of friends spend a long time dying from all kinds of things, from cancer to Parkinson's to dementia to all kinds of things. Progressive heart disease. They didn't wake up one morning dead. They woke up one morning alive and frail and elderly. So I don't understand the thinking that says we have time. Last time I checked, you don't. Your time is finite. It's not infinite. It may be eternal, but it's not infinite. Life on this earth is finite. Have you planned for it? Have you really seriously taken the time to look each other and look your children in the eye and say to yourselves, let's sit down and reason together? I don't know. I want to talk about two more things. I was going to talk about probate for a minute, but I'm not going to. I want to talk about one thing here. How many of you have ever been in an emergency room? A lot of stress in an emergency room. You got all the medical issues, life and death. There are lesser issues of care, rehabilitation, and most of all, sometimes money. Hospitals are expensive. Who will pay? Sometimes the answer is not who you think. You go to the hospital. You have Medicare. You're 70 years old. You have Medicare. You have a Medicare supplement. It's a good supplement. You go to the hospital. You're in the emergency room for 12 hours. And you go home and you get a bill for $10,000 from the emergency room. And you go, but wait a minute. I was covered by Medicare. I know, but you were never admitted to the hospital. What do you mean? You were an outpatient. But I was in the hospital. Nah, but you were coded as an outpatient. You were coded as under observation, which is the same as going to a doc in the box. Well, I went up to the room. I was in there overnight and I ate the food. And then they transferred me to a nursing home for 3 days for rehab. But you were never in the hospital. What do you mean I was never in the hospital? You were never in the hospital. You were there under observation. Therefore, Medicare isn't going to pay all the bill, and neither is your Medicare supplement. And pretty soon you got a $20,000 bill from the nursing home for rehab, and you got a $10,000 bill from the hospital. If you don't think that happens, it happens every day in America. It's called observation and versus admission. And if you don't understand the difference, I'll be talking about that in my upcoming seminar on the 11th, which is limited to 6 people because of social distancing. It's something really important to talk about. It's something really important to talk about. In fact, I may make that the subject of my discussion for the webinar on the 7th. But you have to understand, you can be in the hospital without being in the hospital. You were never coded as an inpatient. You were coded as an outpatient. Therefore, Medicare and your Medicare supplement aren't going to pay. But Bob, I was in the emergency room. I saw the doctor. They took x-rays. They stuck me with things. I know, but you weren't in the hospital. How could I not be in the hospital? I'm pretty sure I was in the hospital. No, you weren't in the hospital. You were coded as an outpatient. It's so important, and I've been talking about this now. This all went into effect in, 2014? Something like that. And this whole observation and admission thing is under the Affordable Care Act. Maybe it's 15. I don't remember. But it all came out of that, and this whole thing with observation and admission is more important to understand than ever. Just, if you don't understand it, get to one of my webinars or get to my seminar on the 11th. You can go to my website, assetsandaging.com. And the last thing I want to talk about today, this is kind of an eclectic show, is wholesale or retail. Everybody likes wholesale. Did you know you can get care at wholesale? Did you know you can get nursing homes at wholesale? If you go into a nursing home, you could pay $10,000, $12,000 a month. If you go on Medi-Cal, you might get it for $1,000 or $2,000 a month. Same bed, same food, same care, same nursing home, different price. Did you know if you go into assisted living, it could be $6,000 a month? What if you could get the wholesale price of $4,000 a month by having VA benefits help pay for a couple thousand a month? What's better, wholesale or retail? Everybody likes wholesale better, but nobody thinks about it in terms of care. We just don't think about it. We just are used to writing a check or paying a bill, or the doctor sends us the copay, the pharmacy charges us the copays, and we never think about that. But did you know you can get long-term care for wholesale or retail? It's your choice. Did you know you can shop assisted living? They don't all charge the same price. You can bargain. Ask them how many empty rooms they have. You don't have to take 3 meals a day. You could take 2 meals a day. You could take 1 meal a day and then have a peanut butter sandwich for lunch. Instead of having the room vacuumed every 2 days, you could have it vacuumed once a week. You can make decisions on care and either pay the wholesale price or pay the retail price. That's especially true of nursing homes. 40% of the people in California are paying retail for nursing homes when they could be paying wholesale, but they don't know it. Nobody ever talked to them about it. They didn't believe because they were told you can only have $2,000. They're going to take my house away. They're going to do all these terrible, evil, awful, terrible things, none of which are true. So wholesale or retail? How do you find out about all this stuff? Well, you're listening to it. I'm the one where you find out about all this stuff. I'm the one where you find out all about this stuff. I can help. If you're dealing with the issues of aging, if you want more information on long-term care issues, Medi-Cal issues, VA issues, who's going to pay, who doesn't pay, how do I pick the right nursing home or assisted living, how do I develop a plan, how do we hold a family conference to deal with all of this, how do I make sure I wind up like Bernard and Carol, not like other people who've lost everything? My first story of the hour. Well, you start by calling me. Here's my phone number. It's here in Sacramento. It's 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Write it down. You can get to my webinar on the 7th or my seminar on the 11th, which will be the first one this year in my office, limited to 6 people because of social distancing. 800-999-8007. Or the best way to go is sign up for my workshop. Go to my website, assetsandaging.com, and you can sign up for either the webinar or my workshop on the 11th. You can sign up for either one. Just go to my website, assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, A-N-D, A-G-I-N-G. Assetsandaging.com. Stop thinking about it. Please. Please stop thinking about it. Please make purpose today to make a difference in your life or the life of your family. Protect what you worked a lifetime for your children and grandchildren. Get the people involved in your life that love you and that you love, and make sure that they're a part of the planning process. You can do this. You don't have to be another victim. You can have control of this. 800-999-8007, assetsandaging.com, A-S-S-E-T-S-A-N-D-A-G-I-N-G. Also follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/assetsandaging. You look for my weekly Facebook Live videos where I talk about all this kind of stuff, and you can follow me there. You can follow me on my website. You can become a subscriber to Assets and Aging. I just wrote 5 new blogs this week that will go up on the subscribers page. Assetsandaging.com, 800-999-8007. Take the steps today to make positive gains and make positive decisions when it comes to the issues of aging. 800-999-8007, assetsandaging.com. Get to my next webinar, get to my workshop, and most of all, thanks for listening to this show. We'll be here next week, same time, same place, right here on Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. I'm your host, Bob Scrivano. I hope you have a great day. I hope everything in your life goes well.